Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
Fried fam, if you've been giving everything you've got to your work and are running on fumes, you're not alone. Burnout isn't a failing. It's your nervous system stuck in survival mode, and you can't sustain your energy from that place. That's why we've created Unfried, a 5-month group coaching program that helps mission-driven high achievers like yourself rebuild safety, calm their nervous system, and recover in a way that lasts. When you heal, you don't just get your energy back, you get your mission back. We've got 2 groups of 6 starting October 7th and 8th. Apply now and secure your spot at katedonovan.com/unfried.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled. And we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Hi, Fried fam. It's Sarah. Guess what? We're trying something new here today at Fried. We're going to do some real coaching, real time. I'm going to be guiding someone through a challenge in their burnout recovery, and you get to listen in. Why are we doing this new thing? Well, because we see it as a win-win-win. The person being coached gets support, you get to learn through their experience, and I get to show you what I do best without the cringe of traditional marketing, which I do not love. You'll see that vulnerability is strength, that help is available, and that change is possible, one step at a time. And if this resonates with you, this story, this process that we're about to talk about, please share it with a friend and leave us a review. Your engagement helps us reach more people and end burnout culture faster. Who doesn't want that? Let's get into it. So today we are talking with Janine. Welcome to Fried, Janine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. What's going on? What brought you here today? Give us a little synopsis of what you're working through.
So I am currently on a leave from my job that I have been at for over 8 years. When I first got the job, it was literally the best job I'd ever had. To some extent, it still is. The teammates that I work with are my ride or die. I know I will be friends with them for the rest of my life. Even though there were some warning signs that things were changing, I think all of us pretty much agreed that we stuck around for each other. But things kind of came to a head earlier this year, and I realized that I needed to take a step back. So I had been seeking therapy for issues that we had been having with our boss, and also a huge change in culture at the organization as a whole. And so I spoke with my therapist, and she agreed that it would be good to take a leave of absence. So I'm currently a little over halfway through a medical leave of absence from the job. And my struggle now is my inability sort of to take that for what it is. People telling me, enjoy your leave, do something fun, you know, take care of yourself. And I had planned to do all of those things. I had a whole list. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to clean up my house. I'm going to go to pottery every day. It's going to be so great. And I have done none of that because the anxiety now about the pending return to office has sort of kept me down. Since I don't feel like the environment itself has changed, I'm going to be going back to the exact same thing that I just left. And it's making it really hard to sort of relax and take that time that I need in order to recover. And so I don't feel like I've taken advantage of the time that I have been given. And now I feel like it's coming up on that deadline. And is it too late for me? Like, is it too late to make these changes that, you know, I feel like I should have been doing from day one in order to return to work? And is returning to work the right thing to do? So those are my struggles.
Yeah, that's a lot of different things that are preventing you from relaxing. Sounds like. Yeah. Do you remember, like, do you know if your work environment is actually toxic by definition? Would it be helpful to establish that in your thought process about whether you want to go back or not?
So I think I found, well, I read several articles, but there was one article in particular, which was like 10 signs that you have a toxic boss. And I think my boss had 8 of them right away, flat out. Mm. And the other two, we were like 50-50, like, okay. Could go either way. But 8 out of the 10 were like, yes, yes, green check mark all the way across.
So you mentioned, your boss seems toxic. But your colleagues, your coworkers are not, sounds like. You love them. They're great.
Correct. And we're all sort of under, you know, we're in the same mind that this is a really bad environment for all of us. And I also feel guilty, like, why was I the one that couldn't handle it? You know, they're all still there. And my not being there has then put them under even more pressure because, you know, all of my tasks still have to be completed. So, but they were all very, very supportive and was, you know, just do what you need to do. Don't worry about it. But we're all sort of in the same boat.
Right. And you bring up a good point, which is, you know, why couldn't I handle it and everyone else could? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what it feels like in other people's bodies, but we all, based on our childhood circumstances and experiences and all the things that happen in our life, especially if they were burnout risk factors, if the more burnout risk factors we experience in our life, the less we can handle moving forward, right? It decreases our capacity. It changes our resiliency and our adaptability. And then when things burst into flames, those of us that have less to work with end up burning out faster. Mm-hmm. So potentially that might explain that. How does that feel hearing that?
I feel like I have been in not quite similar situations. I have had other jobs where I have felt, I think burnout is kind of a word that used to get thrown around when you were just really tired. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so burned out. But I have had other jobs where I probably did experience burnout and there was just no word for it back then.
So it's definitely a buzzword now, and it's literally defined when it wasn't before.
Yes. So I feel like that is potentially accurate, that there is something that, you know, maybe had occurred or didn't occur, or, you know, some reason why I tend to get, excuse me, more affected by this or extremely affected by this.
Right. So I know we talked about this a little bit before we hopped on this recording right now, but are you considering going back to this job and staying there? Is that a question?
It would be only out of necessity of, you know, needing to earn a living. It isn't something that I would choose to do if the circumstances allowed for it.
But right now you're on a leave. So like you're technically going back, even if it's not for long.
Yes. I mean, I would be required to go back.
What are the other options you're considering? Not going back to this job.
Whether or not I could afford to not work, you know, I'm getting close to retirement age and working with someone to determine whether or not I would be able to survive, you know, not working, or, you know, getting another job, but maybe not, you know, maybe not a full-time corporate job like I've had, you know, my entire career, maybe something that does pay a little bit less, gives me more flexibility, but I don't maybe need to make as much money as I had been making because I am getting closer to retirement. So that would be another option. The job market, unfortunately, is not fantastic. So I don't even know what the likelihood of that would be. And then if I didn't have a job, could I even afford to live in the United States? Because that is also a question in terms of, you know, being able to pay for my own healthcare.
Right. These are all important considerations. Are there more options? You gave three so far. Are there other options you're considering right now?
Those are probably the three that I have considered so far. If there are other options that you could recommend that I think about, I'm happy to hear those.
Well, potentially there's a million different options, but I actually think let's just play around with these three for a minute and see what we come up with. Because, you know, part of your challenge you said is like you're on leave, but you can't even enjoy it because you don't know what you're going to do next. And there's something about returning to this job because it feels toxic or is toxic. Your boss is toxic. It is creating a lot of anxiety for you. And this is, of course, why wouldn't it? It's not an environment that you thrived in. In fact, you burnt out in it. So stepping back into it is sort of like that boiled frog metaphor where it's like, you're going to get thrown back into the boiling water. How can anyone survive that? Right. Mm-hmm. It's not survivable by definition. So you're having anxiety for good reason. And so it's worth listening to your body's anxiety and honoring it and validating it and saying, yes, I hear you, body. Like, that is not a good place for us. Even if the coworkers are good, it's not the best choice. But let's compare it with the other choices. So when you imagine yourself going back to that office with those people, with that boss, you get anxiety. What else comes up for you?
I mean, I think it's important to note that I do like my job. I'm good at my job. And what keeps me from thriving in that environment is my boss. So, I mean, I guess a fourth option is, and I have discussed this with other leadership at the organization, though nothing has come of it, is if I could continue to do my job, perhaps under a different boss, that I would be willing to consider. But that, again, is something I don't have any control over. I've made that clear that that would be my preference, but I don't have any control over whether or not that happens. So when I think about going back, it's not so much struggling to think about how I'm going to perform because I know I can do the job. I do it very well. It's the anxiety over having to interact with this person.
Okay. So that narrows it down. It's not, yes. It's not everything about the job. It's a very specific thing about this job.
Yes.
Okay. How do you feel about, like, imagine yourself trying on the scenario of, let's say your financial advisor says you could retire early. It would look like this. This would be your new lifestyle, whether it's in or out of the United States, but you don't have to work anymore. What comes up for you? What does that feel like to you? What's your body's reaction?
That would feel fantastic, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Would receive everything. If they were like, you know what, you don't have to go back, I'd be like, where do I sign? What do I have to do? That I mean, I know deep down that would be the dream. The dream is not trying to figure out how to make this job work. As much as I, you know, love my colleagues, that's not where my head is right now. I think the dream is not going back at all. And I'd like to say that would solve all my problems. I'm sure there would be other problems that would come with that, but those would be problems that I would have more control over, where in this situation, I feel like I don't have any control over what happens. Like, I just, there's nothing about the issues that are affecting me that I can control myself.
Okay. That being said, have you spoken to HR? You said you let someone know that you would rather work under a different boss. Have you told that to all the people? Just kind of jumping back to your other scenario. If you were to go back there, does everyone know besides your boss, I guess, that you could stay if it was under different circumstances?
Yeah, actually, I don't even think my boss knows that. I spoke with my boss's boss about that. And this was several months before I even went out on leave. There was an incident that happened and I said, I need a new boss. And that was made very clear. And I was told that I was heard and that things were being worked on. But that was, it was so long ago that things may very well be being worked on. I really don't know, but there's been no communication about that. So I just don't have any clue.
Right. Okay. Noted. Your other option was work a different job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to different field, maybe less hours, maybe less demanding. And this would be if your scenario is you're almost set up for retirement, but not quite. Right. You just need to supplement to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
How does that option feel? What comes up for you in your mind and body when you try on working part-time or working a whatever job, if we're going to call it that?
Right. I think that's somewhere in the middle where the going back to the same, what I have now is the highest level of anxiety. Not going back to anything at all is probably the lowest level. And then that one's sort of in the middle, just because then there's, you know, the finding of the job and, you know, what happens if the job is terrible? Like, you know, sometimes I'm of a better the devil, you know, I mean, it could be worse. I don't know. It's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns either way, but that one feels like the unknowns would be the things that would cause me the most anxiety versus the unknowns of, you know, the not going back to work. Cause that I feel like I could figure out. I'm not sure about the unknowns of finding another job.
Right. More variables in that scenario rather than just like the bad boss.
Yes.
Are you in any, you're on leave. So technically you probably shouldn't have any communication with anybody at work, higher ups or anything. And you've said you didn't receive any communication from your boss's boss or HR, whoever might contact you about what would happen when you get back. Could you reach out if that's something that you want? Actually, back up. Your body said, basically, I don't want this job. I don't want to go back. Or maybe we need one more scenario. Hold on. Hold on here. We need one more scenario. You know your boss's boss?
I mean, I know who... Yes, I know my... I mean, I don't...
Would I'm you... Maybe I say this. Would you work for them? Is that who you would likely... If it wasn't your toxic boss, would it be that boss that you would work for if you were to have a different boss? Do you know?
I don't know. I think maybe that's what they were... You know, what was trying to be figured out is who would I work for? My job role aligns mostly with the person that I am working for. So it just, you know, isn't something that they can just say, oh, well, we'll just move you over here. And you can do all that stuff over there. So I don't really know the answer to that question. And there was no insight ever given to me as to what these, you know, when I heard we're working on it, what was being worked toward. So I'm just kind of feeling, I feel like it's not being worked on. Sometimes I think because I left, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So it may be that nothing's being worked on, or it may be that something could happen tomorrow. And, you know, I might find out through one of my teammates or something, but I think that also is causing the anxiety, is knowing or being told that something is being worked on, but then not really knowing if that's accurate.
Let's try on a fourth scenario, which is going back to that company, same position under a different boss. And let's say that boss isn't toxic, even if you don't know who they are, but they're not toxic. They are a good manager. They would be better to work with. How do you feel about that idea? What comes up?
That, I mean, I have thought about that too. And I would at least go back to see how it works. It is possible that that wouldn't change anything. I don't know, but I would definitely be willing to give that a try. There'd be no reason not to. the worst case scenario is nothing, it didn't change anything and I'm back where I started. But the best case scenario would be this is great and I can now continue to work here until I am actually at retirement age and do it correctly and not give my financial advisor gray hairs.
Well, that part's not your responsibility. No need to worry about them. So the other factor here is you're saying, like, I can't relax now because of my uncertain future.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't all future uncertain?
It is, but I feel like I'm even one step behind that where I don't even know what path to take to determine what direction to go. I feel like I'm just standing in the middle of, you know, a roundabout and I don't know what exit to take. So I'm just driving around in circles trying to figure out how to get where I need to be.
Right. And you're not out for a Sunday drive.
No. And I actually hate driving.
Oh, this is a bad metaphor then.
That's the first thing that popped into my head.
Or maybe it's accurate because you hate driving and you hate this feeling of just being so anxious and not knowing how to utilize this leave.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I really thought maybe naively so that as soon as I went out, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I could not move forward. I think my mind was still like halfway there. Now it's, you know, like almost, I think 7 weeks in, 7 weeks out of 12, I'm finally starting to realize that I can relax a little bit. But I feel like I have wasted all that time where I could, if I just could have gotten to this point 3 or 4 or even 5 weeks ago, that now I'd be like, I'd be feeling not, I don't say great, but I mean, I feel like I've just wasted time because I could not relax.
Spoken like a true high achiever that wants to high achieve their burnout recovery, right? Like if only I could have been more productively resting 5 weeks ago.
Yes. But yes. Correct.
That's not how it goes. How what you just experienced is actually super common because especially if you've been running on adrenaline at work prior to your leave, that doesn't just like your body doesn't just switch off just because it's like, well, you don't have to go to work doesn't mean you can just lay on the couch and bask in the sun or, you know, sleep for 12 hours a night.
Right.
Because our bodies want to keep going how they were going, even if it wasn't productive or rather like healthy for us, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't a healthy pattern, but it doesn't know it like takes time to kind of for that engine, to slow down and recognize, oh, I am actually safe at home, even though I don't know what's going on. And like everything kind of slows and settles. It took me months, took me longer than 7 weeks, I think, to finally stop running on adrenaline and sort of get tired enough to rest. So you're ahead of me in your burnout recovery.
I feel like, though, that's important to know. And I'm so glad that we're talking about it because that's not something that anybody could have or, you know, would have told me is that just because you're done, quote unquote, working for X amount of time doesn't mean you're all of it's not like you just went on vacation. It's like, you know, right. I'm off for 2 weeks. It's going to be so great. It's nothing like that. Nothing like that at all.
No, because the unknown at the end is quite big, right? So it does change. But also going on vacation when you're just like a little stressed and tired is a different thing than going on leave when you're burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Like your physiology is in a different place. You can't just take a vacation and recover from burnout.
Which is actually how I knew I was burned out because I did go on vacation shortly before I went out. And I think in the back of my mind, even at that time, I knew that that is what I was going to do. But I came back. I mean, I was not relaxed. I was not refreshed. Everybody was like, are you ready to get back at it? And I was like, no, you know, and so I was like, this is a problem.
That is a sure sign. I don't know if you've heard us say that on the podcast before, but it's like a vacation will not heal burnout. And if you go on a vacation and come back and you feel the same, it's like check confirmed, you are burnt out.
Or even worse. Sometimes I was like, why did I take 2 weeks off? Because now it's even worse than it was before I left, because I have to deal with all of the stuff from the past 2 weeks, plus what now I'm got to deal with in the present day.
Right. Right. So here we are. Mm-hmm. It's been 7 weeks. You're just starting to relax. Your system's unwinding a little bit, but you're can't unwind all the way because you're like, well, what's going to happen? What, you know, plus there's a part of your brain that's like, you're not being productive enough on your burnout recovery, leave. It's a mess. Here's something that I wanted to bring up. You said that you wanted to jump for joy, basically, in thinking, like, just waiting, you know, like, if you could only just hear from your financial advisor, you're good. You could just be retired now. You don't ever have to work a day in your life again. How will you be? What will you do? And how will that be different than the time you are taking right now on your leave?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. I feel like the difference would be that I would know that this is my life, where here I feel like I'm sort of in a limbo. So there I would be, okay, I'm not going back to work. And then I would feel less, I don't know what the word is, but just, I wouldn't judge myself as much for not doing what I feel like I should be doing, because I have, in theory, we don't know how much time we have, but I have all the time in the world. So I don't have to worry about trying to fix everything in a 12-week period. So if I knew that it, you know, was going to take months or years to get back to the person that I maybe not even was, but want to be now, I have the time to do that. And I have the time to do that at my pace. I don't have to try to cram it into this tiny little window and, you know, fix myself, so to speak, in order to get back to what I should be doing. So I think that would help me figure out then what I would be doing with the rest of my time.
Right. I heard a lot of shoulds in that statement, or like, you know, like I should be like, there's idea, or I don't know. And I don't know what exactly the ideas are, other than I have to be as productive as possible in this 12 weeks off to get me back to a status where I can go back to work and function again. So like high pressure, shoulds, expectations, pressure to maximize. And that is very different than how you would treat yourself if you weren't going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 5 weeks left to your leave. Do you have an appointment with your financial advisor to get back to you at a certain point about your status?
I do. Yeah. I am meeting with her in a few weeks.
Can you move that up?
I mean, I could always ask. I don't know. It would just depend on her schedule, I guess. I could definitely ask. I mean, I'm free.
Right. It just seems like this is a really important thing for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it could be that we dive in and we figure out how you, you know, maximize your leave and how you figure out how you can fit in at work and have a good work experience, you know, different boss, da da da. But if the answer is you don't have to work anymore, which it sounds like it's a possibility, because you're not ruling it out. Or is it like way?
The possibility is that, I mean, yes, I'm sure I don't have to go back to work, not because I have a lot of money, but would work with her to be like, okay, this is the budget that you would, you know, what is the budget that you would need to survive without this job versus the budget that you have now with a job? And how do we reconcile that? And so I feel like her job would be more like helping me figure out that type of budget. And is that palatable? Am I able to maintain that for the next X number of years? I mean, who knows? I don't know. And, you know, so many things with the government are up in the air, and Social Security, is that going to exist? And you know, not paying into Social Security for as long as I would if I kept my job, et cetera. So those are the things I think that are trying to be worked out. But like you said, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So it's, you know, there's just guesstimates, I think, at this point.
Right. And there are always a lot of variables we don't have control over. And then there's the ones that we do. And in burnout recovery, it's helpful to focus on the ones we do have control over. Because in this scenario, it is the ones that are causing more anxiety for you are the ones you don't have control over.
Right.
Right. So I think it'd be useful to focus on the ones that you do, which is the choices that you make day to day, how you choose to spend your time, money, and energy. And feel some stability come from making choices that feel aligned with your current needs.
Yes. And I always have said to other people who have asked me about these is that if I'm going to be stressed out, I'd rather be stressed out about things that I'm controlling, not things that are out of my control. So if I'm stressed out because, you know, I might have to cut back on my budget for this or that, or I don't have enough money because I chose not to go back to work. That's my decision. And I'm the only one who can control how I spend my money. So that type of stress would be different than the stress where I'm in a situation where I just have no control over it. And I feel like I just am like stuck. I just have to do what I'm being told. And I doesn't matter. Nobody cares about how it's affecting me.
Well, you care how it affects you, and actually probably all of your loved ones care how it affects you, right? So it's definitely not no one.
No, I was referring to the people who do have control, though. Like they're about how it affects me. They're just thinking about how it affects the organization and their bottom line, et cetera. So that is the part that I have no control over.
Right. So that being said, what's the choice you feel like you have the most control over, or the option rather, that you feel like you have most control over or within?
I mean, in my heart, I think I know the answer, which is just don't go back to work. It's my head that is like, well, that's a dumb idea. Of course you have to go back to work. So I'm warring with myself over that answer.
But did you happen to catch my last podcast episode where I talk about how your brain is a mean and lying a-hole?
Yes, I did.
So unfortunately, we're always up against this jerk in our heads that in some ways is trying to keep us safe, but it actually tends to detour us a lot of time or keep us in situations that we don't, that aren't actually the best for us, which is why we put a lot of emphasis here at Fried. Kate and I talk a lot about listening to your body, right? You were clearly like, my heart is saying one thing, my brain is saying another, but we tend to decide to listen to the mean lying a-hole. Why is that?
Because our heart is always just, our heart is like that woo-woo, crunchy granola, like.
Why is that bad?
It's not, but we're so trained not to listen to that. We're trained to be reasonable and logical and think things through. My dad is always think things through. And so, you know, our brain is our thinking organ.
Well, right. So would you choose to listen to your brain or like pick the option that's going to keep your dad happy instead of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hearing myself talk for the last 45 minutes, it seems like such an easy answer. It's like, well, of course, just like everything in my being, every fiber of my being is telling me, just don't go back. Just don't go back. It's just my brain that is saying, you can't do that. That you can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, now I'm like, why is this such a hard decision? It should be such an easy decision. Like my body's already told me what the answer is.
Mm. Well, it's hard because your dad would be disappointed. Your brain is, I don't know, would be disappointed or will judge you further for this decision, which can be hard, which is also why we talk about having a self-compassion practice, because the self-compassion practice is the counter to this mean lying a-hole. And then when we don't have one, our default is judgment, self-judgment instead of self-compassion. And that's a really unfun place to live. Talk about a toxic boss. The brain is like a toxic boss when it's judgmental and harsh and telling you to not listen to your needs, like what your body's telling you it needs.
That's rough. Yeah, my brain is just suck it up, buttercup. Like people are going to do worse. Like just, what's the big deal?
And for some reason, we feel like we don't have any control over this brain voice that's mean. But we do. It takes practice to shift away from listening to the self-judgment and instead cultivating kind of the self-compassion and giving yourself permission to listen to your body, to your heart, whatever you want to call it, your intuition, your knowingness deep on the inside and feeling like it's valid messaging coming from your insides that is worth allowing to be in the driver's seat as the not and trusting that it's not like, instead of judging it as like woo woo, peace and love, crunchy granola hippie that doesn't get anywhere in life, we might say, like, let's ask yourself right now, what would happen if you put your heart, body, gut in the driver's seat right now, in control, and didn't go back to that job, instead took the information from the financial advisor with the best data that we have about the current situation, which obviously is going to change because life goes on. The only change is, the only constant is change. But we allowed ourselves to put yourself in the driver's seat, in control, and just keep making decisions based on the data that the new data that comes in and how we feel about it. What our body says is best, recognizing our needs and moving forward and being like, okay, brain, you're a mean lying a-hole. That I know that's not right because I feel it. It's not right for me. So I'm not going to give you the reins. How does that land? It doesn't have to land good. I'm sure the mean lying a-hole has some things to say about it. But what would happen if you did that?
Can I tell a quick story? Many, many years ago, I had rented a new house. I was moving out of an apartment and I had rented a house and I was packing. And the night before the move, I had probably the first panic attack I've ever had in my life. Like I didn't know it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I couldn't breathe. I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I packing everything? Like, why? I couldn't figure out why I was packing. Like, why am I packing? And I, called someone and they talked me down and I was like, it'll be fine. The movers came. I moved into the house. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, The Money Pit, but the house was like the money pit. Like during the walkthrough, everything was great. As soon as I moved in, everything went to hell. Everything. There was a gas leak. None of the windows open. The garage door fell down on my car. Like it was a disaster.
Oh no.
And so I don't know how I knew that this was a mistake, but somehow my body knew. And so I feel like I don't want to have to get to that point. Maybe it's the night before I'm supposed to go back to work and I have a panic attack. And I don't want to get to that point where that's what's telling me don't go back to work. So I feel like my body does know somehow. And so my body does not feel right about the idea of going back to work. And I'm trying to talk myself out of it, that I'm just, it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. But I think my body knows that the potential is there for it to be that bad. And I don't think I want to get to that point where I'm feeling that awful in order to make a decision. So I think I should listen to my body. I should listen to my heart. My brain is not always the one making the right decision for me.
Right. But I don't want to should you into listening to your heart either. The question
no,
is,
no, I mean,
do
I'm
you
remembering.
To?
Yeah. I'm remembering that story now thinking I don't want to have that happen again. So it's like, I made that mistake once and I don't want to make that mistake again.
Yeah. So how does that feel? Like just try on for a second. Like, okay. What if I don't go back to work? What does your body do?
I don't know. It's a different kind of nervousness. It's a different, it's a completely different unknown. Going back to work, it's basically going back to the known. I know exactly what would happen, and I don't want that to happen. Not going back to work is an unknown, and I can either think of it as, well, this is really scary, I don't know what's going to happen, or this is fantastic, I have a blank canvas to make it whatever I want it to be.
Well, how do you feel about a blank canvas?
I like the idea of a blank canvas. You know, I don't necessarily, I'm not the type that likes the idea of just stepping into the unknown and seeing what happens. Like, I've never been that person, but I like the idea of just being in the driver's seat at least and making the decisions. And, you know, I'm sure there would be stumbles along the way and I'd be like, well, that didn't work, don't do that again, and pivot. But it would all be up to me, where, you know, being in this job, is very little is actually up to me.
Well, right. And that's a matter of, I mean, there's probably a gray area. You do probably have some control at work, but not over this toxic boss.
Right.
Right. So that feels like I'm a victim of this scenario. And that feels awful. Nobody wants to be the victim in the scenario of their life. Right. And also, just want to point out, I mean, we did just talk about, you know, you have a blank canvas, but it's not a totally blank canvas. A lot of your life is sketched in, right? Even if you weren't working today, you still have your support system and your friends and your family and where you live. And so a lot of it, a lot of the canvas is drawn in, but now you get to decide, like, which direction am I going? And you do have the power to course correct at any time. Because every day, every moment, you get new information coming at you from all over the place. I think one thing that used to catch me up a lot and led to a lot of anxiety and burnout recovery is that I was, or prior to burnout recovery, and maybe even in it a little bit, is trying to figure it all out ahead of time and have like 10,000 steps into the future mapped out.
Yes.
And try to feel safe in that kind of control. Like, I know how it's going to go, so I feel safe. But like, it was exhausting because every step I took, new information would come in. And then I'd be like, well, I have to rewrite that path. And I'd have to like forecast it 10,000 steps into the future and try to feel safe again that way. Instead of trying to create safety by recognizing that I'm in the driver's seat and I get to make choices that support myself. I get to make choices that take care of my needs, that have my own back. I can create boundaries that keep me safe. I can say no. I can say yes. That's a whole different kind of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I feel like I have been doing exactly that.
Yeah. So what would it look like for you to, I mean, I feel like you already set in, you're already sitting in the driver's seat because that landed for you. Mm-hmm. So like, although, like, you hate driving, so I kind of hate it. What's the imagery that works well for you of, like, feeling in control, feeling in your body, empowered to make choices for yourself? If not in a car, where are you? Or, like,
yeah, what is it? I mean, like, I'm, like, on a walking path, and there's, you know, when you're on a hike and they have all the different colored markers on the trees so that you know what path to take. And so I'm on the walking path, but I don't have the map. So I don't know what color marker I'm supposed to be following, but I can decide. And I know if I take the white marker that I'm going to find other white markers and I can just keep following that white marker, or I change my mind and be like, I'm going to take the blue marker and I'm going to go down the blue path now and see where that takes me. And if the blue path looks scary and I was like, I don't like that, I can just turn around and go find the white marker again and then keep following that path.
I love that. Like that feels really free to me. There's so much like freedom of choice and like permission to be really paying attention to your environment and your body and deciding like what's best for you each step of the way, rather than like, well, here's the path and I'm committed to it regardless of how toxic it is.
Right. I mean, if I'm on the blue path and there's a scramble of like, you know, 6 feet of rock, I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I can either force myself to scramble up this 6 feet of rock, or I just turn around and find another path and not take that as a sign of failure, That's the other thing is like, oh, you couldn't do it. So you had to turn around and start over again or, you know, make a different decision because you couldn't do it.
Right. No, we have choices. Mm-hmm. We have to choose. And that's a part of, I think, what used to cause me a lot of anxiety is not feeling like I had a choice, like being trapped in this, like, I called it, I think, a cage of shoulds on a podcast recently. Just like, but I put myself in it.
Right. I should complete it.
I was the toxic boss. No. Luckily, I could open the door for myself, and I eventually chose to, and that was a huge part of my burnout recovery. And I want that for you too.
Yeah, I want that for me too.
Yay.
I do. I really do. I mean, I'm tired of being tired.
Oh, it's exhausting.
It is. Being tired is so exhausting. And it, you know, it's not a sleep issue. It's not that, oh, you just need more rest. It's like, I don't need more. I mean, yes, everybody needs rest, but that's not going to solve the problem. That's not going to solve the exhaustion.
Well, no, especially if you are constantly outputting energy, spinning your wheels about where you don't have control.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just saying, but I do, here's where I do have control. Let's focus on that.
Right.
Then you get to choose how much energy you spend in each of these areas. And if you catch yourself spending too much energy in one, you can be like, do I want to do that? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, ooh, I need a little more. Okay. What resources do I need? Is it sleep? Is it help? Is it whatever?
Right.
And you get to have it when you believe that you get to have help and you get to make the choices that help you feel free and aligned and in control.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your next step? Just one, not 10,000, just one.
Just one. I mean, I want to just sit and read a book and not stop every 5 minutes because a thought arises or I remembered something that I didn't do or want to do or need to do, like just sit and read a book for an hour straight.
Let that be the priority.
Yeah.
Of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It seems so simple. And it's been such a challenge.
It is. When you're not in that mode, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I love that next step. Okay. Well, I guess we know how you're going to spend the rest of your evening, huh?
I will do that. I will sit and read a book. I can do it.
Or something else if it feels better or more of a priority. Just not the like lying a-hole saying, you're not being productive. You have to go clean those dishes. You have to blah, blah, blah. Instead of prioritizing the thing that feels the best to you in this moment on your leave from work that is meant to be restorative.
Yes. And that was a struggle, is even finding the things that would make it restorative. Like what... I don't even know what to do. But yeah, reading a book is something that I would really like to do.
Great. Go with what you know. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have to make a list longer than that.
Right.
If reading's restorative, it is actually then productive to your burnout recovery and you get to check the efficiency box. But that's not why we're doing it.
No.
Okay, Janine, I appreciate so much you coming on here and being honest about this very hard time in your life and these struggles. It means a lot to me that you trust me to hold this space for you and also to share your experience with the Fried Fam, to all of our listeners, with all of our listeners who I know... So many people who have been in your similar position on leave, not knowing what to do. So I appreciate you being willing to share that so that other people can also do the same sort of process for themselves and get to this place of hopefully giving themselves permission to be in control in their life, feeling empowered to make decisions that feel good and aligned. So thank you.
I I really appreciate this opportunity. I was very happy to find your podcast. I mean, one of the first things I did was go on Apple Podcasts and type in burnout. I was like, there's got to be, because I didn't know anything about it. I knew it was a thing. I had done some research, but I didn't know of anyone else who had been going through anything like this. So listening to the podcasts was enlightening, and hearing your story and Kate's story, you know, helped me feel less alone. And I was like, I know other people have to be going through this. It's just a matter of finding them. So you guys were very helpful in that.
I'm so glad you found us, because it helps so much to know you're not alone, right?
It does, because it, again, it feels very personal. Like, why can't I do this? Why can everybody else do this and I can't do this? So it's helpful to know that it's not, you know, it is a me problem, but it's not just a me problem. This is, it's, you know, it's something that happens to a lot of people, and it's not something that has really been discussed. So I think it's important.
Yeah. And you sharing your story is going to help even more people know that they're not alone in their exact kind of similar scenario of being on leave and not knowing what to do and not being able to relax because it just feels like too much.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for being here, Fried Fam. Thanks for listening all the way to this point. If you resonate, please let us know. Leave a review, come to the Facebook group, let us know, send us a message, pop into office hours, tell us about it, tell us why this is helpful for you and what your next best step is. Okay, until next time, take care and pick up those reins of your life and just take one step that feels good.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
Fried Fam, if you've been giving everything you've got to your work and are running on fumes, you're not alone. Burnout isn't a failing. It's your nervous system stuck in survival mode, and you can't sustain your energy from that place. That's why we've created Unfried, a 5-month group coaching program that helps mission-driven high achievers like yourself rebuild safety, calm their nervous system, and recover in a way that lasts. When you heal, you don't just get your energy back, you get your mission back. We've got 2 groups of 6 starting October 7th and 8th. Apply now and secure your spot at katedonovan.com/unfried.